Amen. Thank you, young lady. What a great song. And there was a line in that, I think I got it right. Just one glimpse brings me down to my knees. Just a glimpse. The seraphim declared, not once holy, not twice holy, but three times, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Well, thank you for that wonderful song, and thank you, Pastor Mike, for leading us tonight in praise and worship. Thank you, musicians and singers, and Brother Mike, of course, can preach, but he can sing too. And everything he does such a fine job. And I've already been observing tonight, and I like to make observations. And Andrew, I've made a few observations already. And this goes right along with the message that's on my heart tonight. We have worshiped, I believe, already with all three parts of who we are. We have worshiped with our body. I saw many just a moment ago raising hands and clapping hands, maybe even a dance move or so. So I witnessed worship with the body. But even deeper and more intimate, I witnessed worship with the soul. Not just outward worship with the body, but inward worship with the soul. David said in Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And sometimes when we worship with our soul, we smile, we laugh, we weep. Comes from our emotions. So I've witnessed tonight worship with the body. I have witnessed worship with the soul, but even deeper. And even more intimate, I believe in this place already, there has been worship in the innermost part of who we are. There has been worship in the Spirit. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So thank you for this wonderful atmosphere of praise and worship. Let me say something that you probably already know. I've said this before, but you just need to be reminded. Everybody look this way. I love Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's one of my most favorite churches in all the world. And when I think about Emmanuel, of course I think about Pastor Mike Stone. He's one of the best preachers on the planet, and wherever he goes, he's probably the smartest person in the room. So that's a little bit intimidating for me to stand in his pulpit, but thank you, preacher, for allowing me to come and preach in your pulpit. But not only do I think about Pastor Mike when I think about Emmanuel, I think about Brother Lynn. And I think about Jared now that's coming on. And I think about Scotty. And I think about Andrew. And I think about this wonderful staff. I think about these sweet people that's already talked to me tonight, Brother Carter. And everyone has always treated me with such hospitality at Emmanuel, but you know who I think about most when I think about Emmanuel? Sorry, Pastor, but even more than Brother Mike. I think about the students. I think about you. I really believe that this is one of the most anointed, special student ministries I've ever seen. I told someone the other day that Emmanuel has the gold standard for student ministry. And I preached to you before. I preached to you here I've preached to you at the church. I've preached to you on Wednesday night at the warehouse. And every time, without exception, you know what you have done? It's blessed me. You've always opened your Bible, and you've listened real good. You've paid attention. You've taken notes, and I want to ask you to keep doing that. Now, at our church, we have a great student ministry too, but sometimes I tell our student pastor this, why don't you do it like Emmanuel does? I'm sure he gets tired of me saying that. Why don't you do it like Pastor Mike and Pastor Scotty does? So I love Emmanuel Student Ministry, and I'm glad to be part of this camp. I'm honored to be here, and you've already had great preaching. You'll have great preaching the rest of the week, and I just want to be a small part of what God is already doing in your midst. Now, I want you to take your copy of the Word of God, and you're probably wondering where I'm going to ask you to turn to. What's going to be our passage tonight, Pastor? What's going to be our text? If I were to ask you to turn to the book of Habakkuk, which I'm not, but if I were to ask you to turn to the book of Habakkuk, you would probably have difficulty finding it. I probably couldn't find it myself. If I were to ask you to turn to the book of Obadiah, you would say, I didn't even know that was in the Bible. But I promise you, everyone will be able to find our passage tonight. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible. Genesis chapter number 1, we're going to be in the first book of the Bible, the first chapter of the Bible, and you guessed it, the first verse of the first chapter of the first book of the Bible. You just open your Bible and there it is, Genesis chapter 1. I want you to go ahead and find your place in Genesis 1, and with your permission tonight, Pastor Mike, I want you to go ahead and mark your spot in Genesis 1. That's where we're going to start in just a moment. But then go ahead and turn over to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to connect these verses in Genesis with a New Testament verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And we're going to study the Word of God together tonight. I have told several of my preacher friends that I'm going to be preaching about the Trinity at a student camp, and everyone looked at me just kind of like a mule looking at a new gate. You're going to do what? You're going to preach about something that is complex and complicated and heavy theology at a student camp? And this is what I said, it wouldn't work at your student camp. But it'll work at this student camp. And Brother Andrew, I don't want to preach too deep tonight, but hear me, I don't want to preach too shallow either. So if it's in the Bible, y'all, we're going to preach it. And I found out a long time ago, you don't have to dumb it down for young people. Young people want you to cut it straight. So I'm going to do that tonight. Genesis, of course, is the Bible's book of origin. It's the Bible's book of beginning. Now, Genesis does not record the beginning of God because God has no beginning. He's just always been. He is the creator, but he was not created. He's just always been. Watch this. He is before the beginning. He is after the end. He is before Genesis. He is after Revelation. I love what the Bible says of our Lord. He is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and all things in between. The theme of this student camp is the attributes of God. God is, not God was, not God may potentially be, but God is the eternal, preexistent, I am God. And I want you to notice with me the first verse in this book, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Brother Lynn, I just like the sound of that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let me tell you what I'm going to do with Genesis 1:1. I'm going to believe it. I'm not going to philosophize it. I'm not going to pick it apart. I'm not going to overanalyze it. I'm not going to go back to the hotel tonight and lie in the bed and toss and turn and wonder and worry about it. I'm just going to believe it that God in the beginning was and He created the heavens and the earth. Listen to what I'm about to say, students. Make a note of this. If you can believe Genesis 1:1 by faith, you'll have no problem with the rest of the Bible. If you can get past Genesis 1:1 in faith, you'll have no problem with the rest of the Bible. It is the creative work of God according to Genesis. Now, look at me. Real soon, some of y'all are going to be going off to college. And some liberal deadhead professor is going to say to you that Genesis 1:1 is a fairy tale. They're going to try to make you question Genesis 1:1 and doubt it and make you veer away from Genesis 1:1. Why don't you just go ahead and take your stand tonight that you're going to believe Genesis 1:1 at face value, and you're going to believe what the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. How many of you believe that? I believe it. But then notice verse number 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. You know what that is, Pastor Mike? That's chaos. That's confusion. And the Spirit of God in my Bible, Spirit, is capitalized. That's the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 1. He's hovering over the face of the waters. And then we move now, Brother Jared, into a six-day creation. God made the universe and the galaxy and the solar system and outer space and the sun and the moon and the stars. And He made the mountains and the rivers and the Grand Canyon and the oceans and the seas. And He made the plants and the flowers and the trees and the leaves and the foliage. And He made animals and birds and fish and creeping things. And now it comes to the sixth day of creation, and God is about to make the greatest creation of all. God is about to make His prized creation, His handiwork. He's about to create us. He's about to create humanity. He's about to create mankind. Now remember, there's no humans on earth at this point. This is before Adam. This is before Eve. And I want to show you something in Genesis 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1 Verse 26, we're studying our Bible and everybody's listening so good. Then God said, let us make man in our image. In my Bible, us and our are capitalized according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Hey, guys, look at me, all the guys. God created you in his likeness and his image, and don't ever forget that. Young lady, God made you in his likeness and in his image, and don't ever forget that. But I want to show you something in verse number 26. Look at it again. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Now, Brother Scotty, there's nobody on earth. There's probably some giraffes and some elephants, maybe. There might be a porcupine, but there's no people. I'm an old social studies teacher. I used to teach seventh grade middle school. Got any seventh graders in here? God bless y'all. But the first year that I taught, they had me teaching language arts. I was an English teacher. Can you imagine a loudmouth, conservative, redneck preacher teaching language arts? I did. And I don't remember much about that, but I do remember that a singular pronoun is just one person. Me. I. You. But then a plural pronoun is more than one. Us, we, our. God uses a plural pronoun. Us and our. Who's he talking to? Can I come down here? You know who he's talking to? He's talking to all three persons of himself. Now, if you don't get what I say right now, the lesson tonight's not going to make a lot of sense. Please do not go on social media tonight and say that the preacher from Northwest Georgia told us at student camp that we serve three gods. No. Everybody listen. We just serve one God. Say it with me. We serve one God. Say it again. We serve one God. If we serve three gods, that'd make us polytheistic. Many gods. But we're not polytheistic. We're monotheistic. One God, but watch this. He is made known in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We sing about it. Holy, holy, holy. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. So I want to preach tonight for just a little while. If God would help me, and I've already spoken with your pastor, and my assignment tonight is this. I'm preaching on this thought. God is triune, and you are too. God is triune, and you are too. And you say, preacher, I don't even know what triune means. But that's what you are. God is triune. He made you like him in his likeness and in his image. So you are triune too. Now I've got to show you this. When God created the Grand Canyon and Mount Everest and the Pacific Ocean, when he created the animals and the plants, when he created the galaxies, he just did it by the power of his creative word. He just said it and it was so. He just spoke it into existence. Watch this, students. God said, let there be light. And there was light. I love this. God said, let there be light before he even created the S-U-N sun. When we get to heaven, I'm going to say this country talk. There ain't going to be no sun, but the Lamb himself will be the light. So God, in those first 5 days of creation, just speaks it Pastor Mike, but now, oh my, watch this. On the sixth day, when God creates us, He doesn't speak it. He has to get His hands dirty. Genesis 2:7, let me show you that. You forgot this story, but it's in the Bible. And the Lord God formed man out of the dirt, out of the dust of the ground. God got His hands dirty when He made us and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Pastor Mike, that's the Trinity. He formed man. That means He gave man some kind of body, some kind of outward form. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's the Spirit. And man became a living being. I think we could read it this way. Man became a living soul. So everybody listen to what I'm about to say. You're one tonight, yet you are three. You've got a body, and I'm already sweating up here. I'm hot. A body, but then you got a soul, and then you have a spirit. And God made you that way. God is triune, and you are too. Well, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's read verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely and entirely. That's that sanctification, Brother Scotty. God's still working on me. And then look at this. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what I believe, Brother Andrew. I believe when Jesus comes and takes us to heaven, we're going to have a body, and we're going to have a soul, and we're going to have a spirit. So I want to talk to you tonight on this subject. God is triune, and you are two. Now, I've just got 2 points in a sermon about the Trinity. I've usually got 3, sometimes 4, and Pastor Scotty came up to me tonight, and I told him I just got 2 points, and he looked at me and said, come on, man. A 2-point sermon when you're talking about the Trinity? Well, we'll put some sub-points in there like Pastor Mike does, and we'll do that. Now, everybody listen. Number one, God is triune. God is triune. Let's take apart that word triune. Can I move a little bit? That word triune, let's talk about the etymology of it. It's made up of 2 parts. The prefix tri and then the word unity. Watch this. Triunity. Triunity. Brother Jared, you can almost hear the word trinity. That prefix tri, tell me what it means. 3. Before you learn to ride a bicycle, 2 wheels, you probably learn to ride a tricycle, 3 wheels. Some of you have taken trigonometry. That just sounds hard to me. If you put a math problem before me, I break out in hives. Did you know that I graduated from college, in fact, 4 times, and I had a pretty high GPA? I, for the most part, made A's. I made a couple of B's. The only C I ever made in college was in college algebra. And when I got that C in college algebra, I said, hallelujah, glory, I'm out of this class. But some of y'all have had trigonometry and geometry, and you learned about triangles. That's some kind of shape with 3 sides. There's an acute triangle, an obtuse triangle, a scalene triangle, and an isosceles triangle. Y'all thought I was speaking in tongues when I said all of that. There's something about the number three. Watch this. God made time triune. Past, present, future. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. God made space triune. Height, width, length. God made matter triune. Remember them atoms in school? Protons and neutrons and electrons. Watch this, Pastor Mike. Genesis 1:1 is a triune verse. Can you put Genesis 1:1 back up there? Can you pull that up, Brother Stacy? In the beginning, God. The Hebrew word for God there is Elohim, and it means the plural name for God. He's just one, but it's the plural name. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now watch this, y'all. Oh, my. We see that Genesis 1:1 is triune in time. In the beginning, God, time. We see that it's all about time and it's all about space. In the beginning, God created the heavens. That's space. And then, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's matter. Can I say it again? God is triune. He's one, but yet he's three. I said this last year when I preached the revival at Emmanuel. Mathematically, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. But theologically, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. And Pastor Mike Stone, you know what I'm going to do with the doctrine of the Trinity? I'm just going to believe it. I'm not going to philosophize it. I'm not going to pick it apart. I'm not going to overanalyze it. I'm not going to worry about it. Not going to wonder about it. Not going to toss and turn about it. I'm just going to believe it. Well, Pastor, do you fully understand all there is to know about the Trinity? No. And you don't either. And your preacher's smart. He's smarter than most of us. But he don't have it figured out either. No theologian can completely understand it. No scholar can completely understand it. But y'all, think about it. I don't think I would want a God that I could understand. Because if I could understand God, I wouldn't need God. I'd just be my own God. Let me say this. There's a lot of stuff that I don't understand, but I still believe. I don't understand electricity, but I'm not going to sit in the dark. Man, I'm just going to flip the switch. I don't know anything about wiring anything up. Man, if I wire something, it'll burn the place down. Even though I don't understand electricity, Brother Scotty, I still believe it. I still get to enjoy it. I still get to experience it. I don't understand aerodynamics and flight patterns. But Brother Lynn, if you want to send me to Hawaii, I'll get on the plane. Don't understand it, but I believe it. I can enjoy it. I can experience it. I don't understand the inner workings of this iPhone. But Lord knows I get plenty of text every day. And I get lots of calls every day. And I'm on that phone way too much. Even though I don't understand it, I still believe it. Watch this. I don't know how a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk and yellow butter, but I believe it. Man, I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm just gonna experience that. So just because you don't understand it, don't mean that you can't believe it. I don't fully understand the Trinity. No one does. But I believe it. Amen. Now, let me correct some erroneous teaching. Let me just tell you something that I used to be in error about. Pastor Mike, I used to think things like this when it came to the Trinity. I thought this: God the Father has always been. God the Son didn't show up till 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem when he was born as a little baby. And the Holy Spirit didn't show up till the day of Pentecost. Wrong. Listen to what I'm about to say, students. Y'all are listening so good. God the Father has always been. God the Son has always been. God the Holy Spirit has always been. God the Son is as old as God the Father. God the Holy Ghost is as old as God the Father. How old is God the Father? Well, he's just always been. He's eternal. Remember that verse in Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I don't know who those students were today, Brother Mike, when I listened on the phone. You know who you are. Now, students, you've got to help me with this. We don't have to do John 1 all the way to verse 8. Let's just do the prologue, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Where are those students? Will y'all stand up? Pastor Mike, you help me, and I'm going to lead us. I want you to say it with me. And boy, it sure did help me today when I heard y'all say this. All right, here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Did I get it right? Thank you, students. You can be seated. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus is God. So let me say it this way. I used to think, Brother Carter, that God the Father was up here, God the Son was down here, and God the Holy Spirit's kind of like the stepchild down here. Maybe God the Father's first place, God the Son is second place, and God the Holy Spirit's in third place. Wrong! All three persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, are on the same plane. Co-eternal and co-existent. There's no rivalry in the Godhead. They all work together. They'll never contradict each other. Brother Andrew, you're such a good singer. All them fountains can sing, and I want to sing with you sometime. I wish I could sing a trio with Pastor Mike and Pastor Andrew. And you know what? If we did that, we'd try to be on our parts. It'd probably be me that messed it up. But you know what? I believe that trio is a picture of the Trinity. God the Father has a voice. God the Son has a voice. God the Holy Spirit has a voice. And they're always on the same note. They're always making harmony. They're always making melody. They're always together. God is triune. God is triune. He's one, yet he's three. Now, let me give you some points here. The ABCs of the Trinity. A is what I'm going to call access. We have access to God in the Trinity. Pastor Mike, you're a great preacher. You're a loud talker like me. Stand up and with your greatest preacher voice, I want you to read Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 18.
Through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father.
Do you see that? For by Jesus, through Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to God the Father. There you go. That's the Trinity. He gives us access. And then, watch this one. We can pray to God with the Trinity. When we pray, all three persons of the Godhead converge. When we pray, there is a meeting of the Trinity. We pray to the Father, we pray through the Son, and we pray in the Holy Ghost. Brother Lynn, would you read 1 John 5:7? 1 John 5:7.
For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one.
I'm trying to make you understand that God is triune. He's one, yet He is three. And then I love this, preacher. All three persons of the Trinity are involved in our salvation. God the Father thought it. God the Son bought it. God the Holy Spirit wrought it. Let me just repeat that again. Let me just add to it. God the Father thought it. God the Son bought it. God the Holy Spirit wrought it. The Bible taught it. The devil fought it, and we got it. Amen. Now, Pastor Mike would say it this way. God the Father planned it. God the Son purchased it. God the Holy Spirit presents it. That's how he would say it, Andrew. That's what Brother Mike would say. So we have access with all three. A, access. B, oh, I love this one. Baptism. Man, I love baptism. In our church, you know what we do? We slam dunk them. We immerse them. There ain't no sprinkling in our church. We submerge them. And I love this. John the Baptist got to baptize Jesus. I've always wondered about that. You got to get saved and then you get baptized. Jesus didn't have to get saved. He's the Savior. But he got baptized. I think he did to give us an example, a pattern to follow. In fact, Jesus did both of the ordinances of the New Testament church. He participated in the Lord's Supper, communion, and he participated in baptism. Hey, Brother Scotty, can you stand and read Matthew chapter 3? Verses 16 through 17.
When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And we saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased."
Do you see the Trinity at the baptism of Jesus? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So A, we have access in the Trinity. B, baptism in the Trinity. C, commission. We might say it this way, Great Commission. Kaylin, can you read to us Matthew 28, verse 19, right there. The last words that Jesus says before he goes back to heaven. Tell us about the Trinity. Amy Fountain, will you read John 14, verses 16 and 17? Let me set this up before she reads it. Jesus is about to go to heaven. And they say, Jesus, if you go, God the Father's already there. And you're going to go. And who are we going to have? We're going to be left all alone by ourselves. Amy, read those verses. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Just find it for her. Boy, putting you on the spot, Amy. She can read it. John 14, verses 16 and 17. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Jesus promises the Trinity to help you when you feel all alone, to comfort you when you feel all alone. Well, Pastor Mike, I've been scanning the crowd tonight, and I've been given heavy theology. Best I can tell, not one person has nodded off. They're still engaged, still got their Bibles open, still listening. So I want to just give you my last point now. That's heavy theology, but let's get real practical on this second point. What does all this mean to you and me? Number one, God is triune, but then secondly, number two, you are triune. God made you like Himself. He created you in His likeness and His image. And what He is, He wants you to be. Pastor Mike, I think you've been talking about this. God is holy. He wants us to be holy. God is love. He wants us to love. So God is triune. He makes us just like Himself. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Mike, when Jesus was on this earth, He had a body. The Word was made flesh. He had hands. He had feet. Right now, tonight, in heaven at the throne, there is a body. But then Jesus also had a soul. Psalm 16:10, you will not leave my soul in Sheol. You will not leave my soul in hell. Jesus had a soul. And then Jesus had a spirit. The last words that Jesus spoke from the cross of Calvary, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So He makes us like Him. And I'm going to just go ahead and share some stuff about me. This is the body that I've got. It's overweight. I weigh 200 something pounds. I'll be 50 in 2 weeks. 50. I'm sweating. I'm hot. But this is my body. I noticed that Pastor Mike had a picture of me on the poster flyer for this camp. It was a younger me and a thinner me. I was preaching a revival a few weeks ago in Cartersville, Georgia. And the lady kept pestering me, sending me messages on Facebook Messenger. Whoever checks that, I don't. And then this is what she said. She said, I need you to send me a picture for the flyer. So I sent a younger, thinner picture too. When I walked into the church that night, she looked at that flyer. She looked at me. She looked at that flyer. She looked at me. And this is what she said. I think you've gained some weight since this picture. I said, yes, ma'am, I have. Thanks for noticing. God bless you. This is what I thought, lady, you ain't skinny yourself. Pastor Scotty, we have a common interest. He likes to go hike. He hikes and he's skinny. I hike. I just eat more. This is my body, and God's sanctifying it. Not there yet. I need to be more disciplined in some areas. But I want to tell you this. When I get my glorified Christ-like body, I'm going to weigh 175 pounds, and I'm going to have six-pack washboard abs, and you're going to march past me, and this is what you're going to say, is that you, Brother Barry? We didn't hardly recognize you. Our body. It's our body. Let me just throw this out there. There's a lady in our church, bless her sweet soul, about every month she'll walk up to me and ask me the same question. Preacher, can you explain to us, can you tell me what happens to the body of a Christian when we die? And I thought, honey, I've already told you that 57 times. But let me just go ahead and tell you. He's talking about the coming of Jesus when we die. When a Christian dies, that old body is going to be left behind. Just an empty shell. They're going to put you in a casket somewhere. And some people might even be cremated. It's all the same. The body's just going to kind of deteriorate and wither away. But your soul. And your spirit, the eternal part of you, the real you, at the moment of death will go directly into the presence of Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, if I follow my Bible right, one day at the rapture, somebody said, God's not interested in our body. Oh, yes, He is. He's going to raise it up, but it's not going to be the same old body. It's going to be a brand new body. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Brother Andrew, will you read, I hope it's up there, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Did you see that, Pastor Mike? Not just glorifying God with your body, but with your spirit. Hey, guys, I know y'all are studs right now. You're looking at girls. You ought to. It's natural. It'd be weird if you didn't. Just saying. But guys, now listen to me. Don't give away your body to some old girl. Save your body for your future wife on your honeymoon night. Young ladies, y'all are so pretty. You're looking at guys, you ought to. But sweetie, don't give away your body to some old boy. You save your body for your future husband on your wedding night. Your body. Glorify God with your body. And then with your spirit, this camp's going to help you this week physically. I'm sure y'all are running ripped during the day, and it's going to help you psychologically. It's going to help your soul. It's going to help you spiritually. And I close with this. Pastor Mike, you started all this. Will you read those last verses? I think it's Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. Remember the body? The spirit? Now look at this one.
But what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul?
I want to share this last story. Y'all have listened tremendously tonight. I want to share this last story, and I want everybody to listen, because I've waited to the last to share this story. And it's something that happened in my life. Pastor Scotty, you were talking about markers, things that happened in your life. This happened. It changed the way I do ministry, changed my whole perspective. It changed my life. It was about 5 years ago. It was a Monday morning. Can I just say this? Pastors are usually not in a good mood on Monday morning. We're tired. Don't mess with us. We've already got our letter of resignation in hand. And to make it even worse, this Monday morning, I had one of those early morning surgeries. We got the sickest people in our church. They're always having surgery. And I was driving. I had an F-150 at the time. And I was driving down the road in Rome, Georgia, going to Redmond Hospital. Still dark outside. Early. Just starting to get daylight. And I'm just going to go ahead and confess. I'm sorry to tell y'all this, but I hadn't even really prayed. Too early. I was doing ministry. I had to be at the hospital because if I wasn't there, she's the type that would get mad because the preacher wasn't there. And I'm grumbling about it. I'm driving down the road. Got to do ministry. I got to do ministry. I got to get to the hospital for that surgery. And I got to make a confession. You're looking at a preacher. Here's one of my faults. Road rage. Just get out of my way. Man, I don't want anybody in front of me. Just move. Well, I'm driving down the road, and a smart aleck in a Honda pulled out in front of me. Now, if you're going to pull out in front of me, Brother Lynn, just move. Well, this smart aleck in the Honda pulled out in front of me. I mean, I had to hit my brakes. And I thought, Who does he think he is? Doesn't he know I'm busy doing ministry? And he pulled out in front of me, and then he proceeded to drive about 25 miles per hour. And I was not singing the doxology. I was not singing the latest praise chorus, Brother Andrew. Man, I was redneck mad. Because this is what I thought. How dare this smart aleck in a Honda pull out in front of me as I'm busy doing ministry? Well, he was in a Honda four-cylinder. I was in a big old F-150 V8. And Brother Carter, I knew I could take him. So I mashed down on that accelerator, and it gave me great pleasure to blow past him. And all the guys out there, you know what I'm about to say. Have you ever noticed when you pass somebody, you got to turn and look at them? Am I the only one that does that? Brother Lynn, I looked at him, and I couldn't really see. It was kind of dark, but I could tell enough to know that this guy weighed about 105 soaking wet. He had his ball cap turned around backwards, and he had about 3 or 4 hairs on his chin. And I didn't like him. I didn't know him, but I didn't like him. I didn't know if he had a church affiliation. I didn't know if he was going to heaven or hell. I didn't know if he was even saved. And just being honest, at that moment, I didn't care. And I blew past him. And I felt good about it because I was busy doing ministry. And then something happened. The Holy Spirit got into the truck with me. And Brother Mike, how can you argue with the Holy Spirit? He's the Spirit of truth. Whatever he says, it's always right. And this is what the Holy Ghost said to me. I thought you were supposed to be some kind of preacher. I thought you were supposed to be an evangelistic-minded, mission-minded pastor of a growing church. Yet it bothers you that this young man in the Honda pulling out in front of you, it ruffles your feathers that he pulled out in front of you. And this is what the Holy Spirit whispered to me that day. That young man in the Honda is a soul. He doesn't just have a soul, he is a soul. Man became a living being. Man became a living soul, and I knew it was right. I was on my way to please some old lady at the hospital, and I whizzed right past a soul. And then I got ashamed. Brother Scotty, I said this to God, God, I'll go back, I'll witness to him. Just let him cross my path again. But he was gone. And I missed my window of opportunity. And God taught me something that day, y'all. That those people around us that annoy us, that get on our nerves, that we just want to kind of blow past, their souls. That student at your school that everybody kind of pokes fun of and just kind of nobody wants to talk to them, you know, they're not one of the crowd. He's a soul. She's a soul. That family member that y'all all kind of ostracize and ignore at the family get-together, he's a soul. She's a soul. That coworker that you'd like to slap, he's a soul. That neighbor that's a God-hating infidel, I know. But she's a soul. And Pastor Mike, let me say this. When we learn to see people as souls, racism goes away. Who cares what color their skin is when you see them the way God sees them as a soul? I'll tell you something else that'll happen. You won't be looking at pornography when you see somebody as a soul. them people on that phone engaged in those filthy acts. I know they may be doing it willingly, but their souls, God made them. It's somebody's daughter. It's somebody's son. Bullying goes away when you learn to see people as souls. That is what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head. You have listened so great. Lord, I have given heavy theology tonight, but I've also been just as practical with life application as I knew to do, as I knew to be. Lord, these sweet teenagers here at Emmanuel, several of them have already smiled at me tonight and said hello to me, and such a joy to be with them again. But God, I just want to help them tonight learn this lesson that I had to learn much later in life. Young people, I know people sometimes get on your nerves. And I know lost people, they act lost. They're sinners, that's what they do. And sometimes it'd be real easy just to kind of ignore them altogether. But I just want to remind you, their souls. God made them souls. So tonight, as we come with some song of invitation, there might be a young guy here tonight. I believe if that young guy will come, somebody else will come with him. And he just needs to come to this altar tonight and just go ahead and commit and go ahead and just say, Lord, I want to see people the way you see people. I want to see them as souls. And there's been some people in my path, I've not really viewed them that way. They were just a bother to me. They were just an annoyance to me. Maybe it's somebody on your team. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood. Maybe it's somebody in your family. I want to say, get a burden for their soul. Love them. Pray for them. Young lady, I remember when I taught middle school, seems like there was more bullying with the young girls than there was even with the guys. And I know how that goes. The young girls, they pick one to get mad at, and they all kind of talk about her. Then the next week it's somebody. I believe all that goes away when we learn to see people as souls. So God, big theology tonight. You are triune. You made us triune. What does that mean? God, I think that means you're sanctifying our body and our spirit. And God, you're sanctifying our soul. So God, I want the takeaway tonight to be Emmanuel Student Ministry. Learn to see each other as souls. Learn to see people that don't come to your church as souls. Learn to see adults as souls. Learn to see people that live on the wrong side of the tracks as souls. Learn to see people that are different than you, that live in different neighborhoods. Learn to see them as souls. Lord, we love you. Let people respond tonight to the invitation. Let them come. Nobody should be ashamed of praying to God and making a commitment. Lord, we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.